fires one towards the goal. That's going to be blocked by Travis Wigeon.
Well, this is more like it.
This is Slang in the Biscuit. Here's Travis Wigeon and Dave Wheeler.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are Slinging the Biscuit. This is going to be episode 4 of season 3. I'm joined by a personal friend of mine who was on the last season of the show virtually, now in person. He is a almost NHL alumni, as close as you can get to playing NHL games without actually playing them.
Yes.
Social media famous as well. Better looking than me. Just got back from Finland.
That's true.
Goalie coach for NCAA Division 1 at Michigan Tech, Jamie Phillips. Welcome to the programming. Welcome back to the programming.
Thank you. I am involved with Michigan Tech, but not directly as the goalie coach. I'm going to be with the AAA organization this year. But everything else you said was true.
And I like it. It was factual based.
It is factual based. I'm impressed that you have seasons of your show, because with my podcast, we just have episodes, and I always forget what episode we're on until I upload the clip to the Google Drive.
Well, I got to give a shout out to my normal co-host, Dave Wheeler. He has hazed me into doing the seasons instead of the episodes. Although I do need to update the cover art for season 3. This is now season 3, since new team, new season, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, so you're going yours like by hockey season?
Basically.
Oh, because like for me, when you see season, like immediately I thought it was like TV show, like Friends season 2. But I don't play hockey anymore, so I just have it by episode.
Yeah, I don't want to overproduce it too much, but the last episode we did was a smashing success. I think almost 10,000 people collectively listened to it, although a lot of negative feedback as well in the TikTok clips.
I think... It's weird because I guess it's biased because most people wouldn't like directly reach out and message me. And actually, no, people do reach out and message me and tell me I suck. But most of the, like all the people that messaged me really had good things. It was the comments from like the little clips that were all negative. And I think I think it's funny because like, I guess it's like, if you don't listen to the full podcast, you get it. Although you did enlighten me that people that did listen to the full podcast still had some negative comments, which is fine.
Far less, though.
Far less. Okay, so that's better. Which everyone's like definitely allowed to, but it's like one of those things where it's like with social media, it's like, would you say, if you would say that to someone in the bar, if you're not going to say that to someone in the bar, like why would you comment that? And if someone came and said that to me in a bar, like I probably am not going to punch him in the face. I'd be more like, confused about why someone wants to try to ruin me having a drink, but it is what it is.
Well, we were just talking about this before we started recording live, was, you know, Booge was mentioned, as you'll see here in the background on the video version on the third angle of the show, that it's probably most of the people that are packing buses for the AAA teams that are leaving comments in the TikTok version, this guy sucks, just be better, just be better, you could have made the NHL if you're better.
Oh yeah, it's just like, and it's, yeah, because we definitely talked a lot of good things before the show, but the example I give is like, I had to accept that, like, I definitely maxed out as good as I could have gotten.
Before you get into that, why don't you back up and just actually tell the story about why people were so bent out of shape by
Well, in the last podcast, we just got into, like, my career and my journey, and I explained a lot about how the business of hockey works for guys that aren't, like, the Carey Prices and the Vasilevskis and the Saros that are getting, like, actually, even Saros played in the American League, too, that are getting, like, just massive opportunities. Obviously, very good goalies, but... for some goalies, it's not as easy. And if you're not a first round or second round draft pick, or the team hasn't signed you as a high free agent, there's not as much incentive for them because it's a business, and get that. And so for me, I was signed by a team not out because they really wanted me. It was more of a necessity. And people really thought that I was complaining about it. And I wasn't. Like, I have no complaints about anything. I'm very thankful for all the opportunities that I've had in hockey and in life, because it's allowed me to be where I am now, in a position to educate and position for me to pay for my extremely expensive tuition and all these things. And I'm super grateful for that. But there's also a reality to it. And sometimes the reality isn't as cupcakes and rainbows as everyone wants it to be. And that's okay. And so people really didn't like, so there's always like this concept, this idea that like, anyone who doesn't make it in sports and says something remotely negative, therefore, is like just complaining or just be everyone just gets like so bent out of shape about it. I gave this example to you, like Dustin Wolf, AHL goalie of the year for 2 years in a row. Like, he cannot be any better than that. He has one NHL game. Well, why doesn't he just be better? He'd be in NHL more. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. There's Jacob Markstrom. Vladar is there, both very good goalies. Calgary was in a playoff spot the year before. They were pushing for a playoff spot this last season. They're not just going to get games. But then you look at like Devin Levi, again, very good goalie. He's able to jump in right from college and get games because Buffalo wasn't in a playoff spot. So if you are a team, like, and I tell this to guys that come across that are free agents and things, like if you have an opportunity, you sign with the weaker team because you are going to get more opportunities to play. If you sign, you know, look at the goalies through Montreal's depth chart since like when Carey Price was playing, like you couldn't advance. You could maybe become Carey Price's backup, but you're not going to have a 20-year-old backup with no experience. You're going to bring in the Halaks and the Allens and those kind of players. And it makes it very difficult to progress. And it's not because those goalies are bad goalies. But again, it's the internet. People are going to say what they say. It didn't hurt my feelings. I was just like reading them. And I was like, man, people sometimes are so off the mark with reality that it's just like, I don't know how some people even can walk outside with the way that they're thinking.
Well, there is one outlier to the rule.
Yeah.
And a reality check comes from the team at Sheath Underwear. They're presenting sponsor for this show. They haven't since day one. Let's get into it. So Sheath Underwear. Sheath Underwear, again, has been with day one of the show because they are incredible. They have this dual pouch technology for underwear, so you can put your dick and your balls, put your rock into the pouch so they're not sticking to the side of your leg. They're not bat winging. They're not sticking all, you know, conjungled and congealed up there. It's everything's compartmentalized. They're aerated. They're breathing just the way they should be. Sheath also combines their incredible cooling bamboo mesh technology, cool on a hot summer day, insulated on those cold winter nights, and it is truly the best underwear money can buy. Pioneered by a former member of the U.S. military who spent time in Iraq and Afghanistan not changing his git gel for 6 weeks at a time, and he says, you know what? I got to come home and fix this. Enter Sheath Underwear. If you're on the video version of the show or if you're listening on Apple or Spotify in the car, pull over when safe to do so in the podcast and notes. But for the video version, you click the video link in the description and the code BIZKIT69, BIZKIT69, will get you 20% off the best underwear money can buy, only from Sheath. I think Dustin Wolf could use a pair of those.
One of the goalie coaches that I met when I was in Finland, he listens to your pod and he bought Sheath Underwear because of it. And he said, he's like, these are the best underwear I've ever had. So I think I need to get myself a pair of these.
I got a used pair upstairs if you want them.
Yeah, whatever. Just give them to me. Don't wash them either.
Lightly used. Every time I sold
pro return, right? Yeah, pro return underwear.
When I was, because every summer I do like a liquidation special for like all my gear, from gloves, blockers to last summer I was selling a jock strap, like a Vaughn V3 7500 cup. 10 years old, I sold it for $12 plus shipping, US.
Someone wanted to...
And they said very specifically, do not wash it. And I did not wash it.
Oh, okay, that actually, that's... you know, like, I guess in today's, like, internet culture, there's, like OnlyFans and, like, selling your socks online and whatever. So I remember once I sold a chest protector, and someone had the same request. Like, I want to buy a chest protector, please don't wash it. I want it to smell, I immediately blocked him because I've never been so weirded out. But looking back, I was like, wow, if that was the case, I should have just like upcharged him a couple of grand. Yeah. And then I was like, hey man, if you want, like, I'll wear my socks and my hockey skates, and I'll sell you $100 a pair.
Well, a couple hundred, maybe not a couple grand.
$100 per pair of socks.
It's game used though.
Yeah, it's game used.
Authenticated by yourself.
But I mean, if there are guys out there that are willing to pay like thousands of dollars for some influencer, like female influencer's socks, I'm sure there's some hockey fan out there willing to pay for UC Soros' socks.
You know, I had a post-retirement endeavor lined up at one point in time. This is one girl I was dating once upon a time, and she joked lightly about doing like an OnlyFans for like feet pictures, and I said, listen, let me be your manager. I'll just take pictures of my feet and sell them. I'll run everything. All you got to do is just like, you know, take a couple selfies, text a couple guys back. No dice, but that could have been early retirement right there.
Hey, man, whatever works.
It absolutely has come off the rails. That's the Peanut Gallery, Derek Bujan. If you hear in the background, if you're in the audio version, you probably won't see him, but you can hear him in the back somewhere.
But what we were talking about before is just the
opportunity in life.
The opportunity in life. And I think you had mentioned it in our pre-podcast talk, where like you said, like some of the people commenting and things, do they think that life is fair? And I said, I hope not, because I hope people don't think that life is fair, because it isn't. But then possibly those people think that life is fair, except it's not fair for them, which then by default makes life no longer fair, which is a weird way to think of life. But well, I have come across those people.
We talked about that before the show, and the biggest element to that is if you think life is fair, but for some reason it's not fair to you, the second that you address that life is fair and you're the problem, you have to acknowledge the problem. You can't just sit there and make excuses. You've admitted that there is a problem and it's within your own hands. And if you don't fix it, now you're just bitching and moaning and nobody's gonna have any sympathy for you. So as opposed to you stay the victim and that life is unfair, you never have to take responsibility about it. But if you take responsibility, you turn the power back into your hands and you can control that. Although in the case that we're talking about, you know, you playing for the Winnipeg Jets, there's only so much you can do, and the other gatekeepers and the powers that be will decide the rest.
Yeah.
Right? Completely out of your hands.
Yeah, and like look at, like, my first year, I played incredibly well. My second year, I didn't play very well in the East Coast League, but I played well in the American League. But for me, like, I was starting to derail mentally from the side of it, so I could have reached out for help way earlier, and that's probably the biggest thing. But also, like, was I getting to the point where I was starting to become, like, so burnt out from it all? It's actually, I watched the Johnny Manziel documentary on the plane, and I am no way comparing myself to Johnny Manziel, but when he got to the NFL, he said, like, he no longer wanted to play. It wasn't fun. But when he's playing in college, it was fun, the partying and all that stuff. And I definitely can empathize and understand with sometimes when the pressures and the jobs and the comments and when you're overwhelmed and it no longer becomes fun, it's hard to get that train back on track. And for me, it wasn't the partying and the money, and because it wasn't any of that. It was just I wasn't enjoying it. Like I was frustrated with the call-ups and the call and getting sent down and all these things, and I started to like drift and be like, what would life be like if I wasn't doing this? And then it started to be like, hey, that seems way more fun and way less stressful and that kind of stuff. And so then it was hard, like it was hard, and I never really got that train back on track. I was able to kind of keep it going forward for a little bit. And then eventually it kind of reached a tipping point where I was like, all right, I'm done.
And what was that tipping point? Because I was here with you back in May of 2020 when you had that tipping point. You said, you know, I'm done, I'm retiring. So yeah. What was that tipping point?
Well, the tipping point, it was definitely when I was in Europe and I ended up getting released from my team in Europe. And because I went to Europe and the team I was on, like I was really enjoying it. I was hoping to go to Europe and like kind of like find the love again. And I did. And I was like, this is great. Like I was loving it. And I was like, I could play here for a couple of years and then figure out life. The team, we weren't very good. We actually went through a point where we had so many injuries. We were playing with like 2.5 lines, and like so we went on a losing streak. And then eventually we got back on track, won 3 games in a row, and then they released me from there. And so after that, I was like, okay, I'm done. And then I reached out to Joe Sean at Michigan Tech. I was like, hey, if I can, I'd love to come back to school and get my master's. If there's a position open for a goalie coach, I would love to get back. Like that's, and then as soon as he got back to me in a couple of weeks later, and he's like, yeah, this position's there. Then I'm said, yes, done. Like I'm done. But that was like the biggest tipping point. Cause I remember I called my dad like crying in the car park. And I was like, dad, like I just don't want to do this anymore. Like it's pointless. It feels like I'm just beating a dead horse. It feels like, you know, the Sisyphus pulling the boulder up the hill, which is why I have some tattoos of that, just pushing the boulder up the hill and you're never getting to the top and it always falls back down. Like, let's do something where I'm going to enjoy pushing that boulder up the hill because I'm enjoying the journey. And I know I had that joy when I was younger and junior in college and stuff. But then as when I went to pro and they started to grow up and life, real life started to come at me, I just didn't have it anymore.
Did you find when you got to the bottom, like you're pushing the boulder up, a little bit of adversity, you reset, you got back to the bottom, did you find that being like a spot of inspiration and like drive of, I'm going to do this one more time, one more kick?
Yes and no. I wanted to finish my career on a high note. Fortunately, COVID kind of stopped that, which sucked because like I signed with Cincinnati and like kind of struggled my first like 2 games. I was like, I really had a hard time adjusting back to the smaller ice. And I was off from games for like a month, so that was hard. But then I started to find my stride. I was traded to Brampton, was playing like really well. Brampton, we were gonna make playoffs, and I was like, okay, like we're gonna go on like a cool run here. This is gonna be a sweet way to end it. And then COVID shut it down. So that I guess I can't really say that. You're gonna have to bleep those out. But
which part?
The COVID part.
Oh, scamdemics over every.
Yeah, I know the algorithm like kind of punishes you when you say that. But
we can talk about it now.
No, but then. Yeah, so that really sucked. But at the bottom, one of the things that I realized in terms of why I love coaching so much, I was playing with Michael Hauser in Cincinnati, and we were doing our goalie skate, and we're talking, and there was like some things I was seeing in Hauser's games. I was like, hey man, like why don't you try doing this or try doing that? And I ended up kind of like I was coaching my goalie partner a little bit, and I was like, this kind of seems counterintuitive because now he's gonna play over me more, but I really enjoyed coaching his game. And like that was a little bit of a light bulb in my head that I was like, maybe I'm going to want to get back into coaching. And I'm glad that I was able to get the opportunity at Tech to be able to get back into coaching and then start to, you know, coach younger kids and younger athletes.
And so now fast forward, I know, you know, a lot of change in those last 3 years, but now you're doing the full-time, I guess almost full-time coaching thing, social media coaching. I know we kind of went through a little bit of a patch where you didn't feel like you know what you wanted to do, what direction you wanted to take it. You're like, I have this education. I played in the American League. I played in the East Coast. I've accomplished all these incredible things. Like, where do I go? What do I do?
So almost done with school. I'm finishing my last, no, it's not even a full year, my last 24 weeks of clinical rotation. So that's when you work for free in a hospital or outpatient clinic or whatever, so 40 hours a week. I'm going to be coaching in Grand Rapids, just like helping out, making sure like with, I have some teams, I'm in charge of their goalies, going to be doing some stuff privately that I'm really looking forward to. And then, yeah, the lot of that remote coaching where I get goalies from really all over the world, and it's a lot of analyzing their games, breaking it down, like sending them drills to focus on different things. And ultimately, like my goal with all of it is to bring it all together. And so I'll graduate as Dr. Jamie Phillips, physical therapist. I'd like to have a brick and mortar facility like Bouge has, where whether that's a gym and a clinic in a rink or a gym and a clinic in a mini rink, something where I can both practice as a physical therapist for ideally athletes and goalies, be able to train goalies as well. So basically work part-time as a PT, goalie coach, do the remote programming, and then have athletes and goalies like come to me and like really work and get them better and get them better in the rehab, prehab, you know, have a strength coach working there. So kind of that's how I'm going to bring it all together. I'm just still getting all the, you know, crossing all my T's and dotting all my I's and making sure that everything's set up so that when I do graduate, I can get that going. So that's the plan right now.
I'm looking forward to the day when you start getting comments on Instagram and YouTube that are calling you a loser, giving you all this shit.
And I already get it.
Well, then you're going to reply, you misspelled doctor.
Yeah, well, yeah. I do already get those comments. And I just realized it's just better to just tell the person they're right. One person did say that, he just said that he's no longer subscribing to the Goalie Science podcast, which is the podcast I run with Ben. Because the topic we were talking about was how Hockey Canada's development model isn't broken. And I actually thought it was, but Ben through the stats showed it wasn't. And he's like, well, these guys are obviously not qualified. They must not have played at a high enough level. I'm like, well, I played in the American League and Ben played U Sports. So it's just one of those things. And I say, yeah, you're right. Like, I suck. You're right.
Well, and on top of that too, like outside of like the playing pedigree and, you know, what you've been able to accomplish online, you've been very instrumental in my hip surgery recovery. And I know there's a lot of different coaches out there that are doing the mobility, the flexibility, the strength, all that kind of stuff. But like you have literally helped, you know, being a catalyst for changing my game physically with the surgery and accessing new reins that I never had before. Because I remember we were talking in March and you gave me this program, very simple, you know, process. It's about a 60-minute program of mobility every single day. Well, you originally said do it every other day. Now it's an everyday kind of thing. And I feel like I've gone from 6 degrees on, you know, my pre-surgery hip to now 25 degrees on the post-surgery hip. And, you know, Bouge has been seeing with the skates, like I'm touching post to post, no problem. And I think although the surgeon did a lot of the credit or a lot of the work opening things up, you helped me to access that.
Well, yeah, structurally, like your hip's completely different now. They shaved, did you have a cam or pincer?
Cam.
Yeah, so they shaved part of the head of your femur down, and now you're going to be able to get there without that bone-on-bone contact. And the one thing, thank you very much for the kind words. I remember earlier I was like, hey, like don't do too much too early, because most athletes tend to want to do too much too early. And I think you and your physio that you worked with in Vancouver did a really good job of kind of finding that perfect amount of what you needed to do. And like when I sent you that program, I wanted to make sure that you ran it by him, that it wasn't going to put you over the top in terms of excessive, you know, kind of training. And so you followed it diligently, so to your credit, and I'm glad to hear that. So once you're able to get back on the ice, like I've seen those videos that you put on Instagram, you're getting post to post, like that is incredible. So I'm glad that I've been able to be a part of that. And, you know, now at the point you're okay, like you're cleared to skate, let's start to progress it so that you can hopefully maintain this. Well, you'll maintain a lot of it, but you'll build that resiliency. But that's what I love to do. That's why I go to spend the last two, going on 3 years of school doctorate level school to be able to help you in this position, to help other goalies or whatever, that help other athletes, whatever it may be. But yeah, it's crazy how much, like, you know, how long the journey must seem for you at this point. Like, it probably feels like forever that you're going under the knife, but
yes and no. To an extent, like, it felt like it was forever leading up to it, because every day was, like, even like hockey aside, my quality of life, I felt it was, like, very skewed. Like, I'm waking up, you know, I creak, I groan, I crack, and I pop first thing in the morning before, you know, I even go to the bathroom for my morning piss. And it's like, oh, man, I'm already getting sore. You know, then, you know, 2 hours before the skate, after the skate, you're all cramped up, all jammed because everything's all so tight, to now where I could literally do nothing all day today and just sit on my laptop, sit in a chair, and then tomorrow I'm still good to go. So, like, it's, like, my quality of life has changed night and day, different from what it was before. Obviously, the on ice is, I mean, even Booj has seen some of it as well. Just, I feel like I'm moving better. I feel like I can do things I physically couldn't do before. And I wish I would have done it sooner. Although, granted, this does borderline political. The Canadian healthcare system is broken, which is why it took so long to get the surgery. But if I could have done it sooner, I would have done it 5 years sooner.
So easily the best thing I've done in 5 years. The lesson here is every goalie needs hip surgery to widen their joints, so they're widen the hip sockets, so they can be more mobile right from the bat.
Well, to be fair, though, there was a goalie that I skated with, the University of Manitoba. His name was Tyler Brown. He played 5 years for the Regina Pats. He's about 5'11", smaller guy. I remember he got the surgery on just one hip, and I remember him telling me that he feels worse post-surgery than he did before the surgery. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I've heard that a couple times. I've heard a couple guys mention that it didn't do anything. It made things worse. So I was concerned about that. But also at the time when I got the surgery, I couldn't play anymore. Like, I physically couldn't do what I wanted to do without steroid injections, without injuries. And there was no other choice. It was just like a Hail Mary of, well, I hope this works because nothing else is going to. But assuming everybody gets the same results I did, it was life-changing, and there's nothing I would change it for.
Yeah, and everyone's going to have different results. But I think, honestly, to your credit, you listened to your PT and you trusted your PT and to a degree myself with that program. Cause I remember that there was a point where I think maybe it was on one of your vlogs where you said, like, you were planning on skating early and your PT is like, don't do it. And you listen to them. There's a lot of athletes that would be like, no, like, I feel good. I'm going to do it. Even though you're not following, like, the clinical practice guidelines and staying on the path. And a lot of times, like, athletes will get re-injured or make it really, really worse. So, like, that's a really important thing, that you were willing to be patient, listen to the medical professionals, go through it, get clearance from your surgeon, clearance from your physio, and now, you know, the results speak themselves. You feel good. It must be nice. I'm 30, and so now every time I wake up, I just feel my back hurts, my hips hurt, my knees hurt. But it must be nice to wake up and feel good. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling, like, better. And, like, I can see it in your face, because I remember last time before you got surgery, like, you were like, I don't know if I'm ever going to play again. And you're contemplating, like, what, you know, what is life for me outside of playing? And now you don't have to think about that. Now it's like, which Fedzino team am I going
to
be on?
Bingo, the Fedzino. You know it. I think it's just opened up my eyes to being more clear. Like, mentally clear about, like, I'm not worried about getting injured. I have the range. I have to trust it, obviously, which is still something I'm working on getting back. Like, Booj and I talked about this morning, just about, like, when I'm extending, let's say, like, on a glove save, I'm not going to get hurt. Like, my brain thinks I am, but it's because that's how it's been.
Well, your body's never been there. Mm-hmm. So your nervous system, it's like, whoa, like, we don't, what is this? Mm-hmm. Because before it was like, you know, sorry, but water bubble. Before it was bone, we can't do that. So let's guide off so we're not hitting bone. Now it's, you know, your brain is hitting panic mode. So I definitely can understand. It takes a lot of time.
Well, it's like in the old Roman gladiator days. Like, you see one guy get eaten and mauled by a tiger. Like, maybe we shouldn't go near the tiger again.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just stay back and let somebody else do it. Shit, he just got his face eaten off.
Yeah, it's glad. So what's next for you, man?
What's next for me? Well, I got traded and signed in Watertown, the Watertown Wolves in the Fedzino, FPHL. Which I'm very, very excited for, obviously, with skating with Booj for the next 3 weeks, and then going to go see Steve McKeegan for a week and then report for the season. But I just can't emphasize how, like, I feel like I found, like, a new wind, like, in my career, having this surgery done and things being opened up. And I think it really started, though, with the team at Manscaped.com, the second sponsor for the show. The Manscaped team has the Manscaped Beard Hedger, brand new. It has 20 different lengths. So if you want to tape up your beard line, your jawline, just like mine, you can do that. It has a 60-minute battery life. It is waterproof, so you will not electrocute yourself in the shower trying to do it. Trust me, the gentleman behind me did try to electrocute himself the other night. It didn't work. But again, if you go to manscaped.com, there's a link in the video description and a link in the podcast notes on Apple and Spotify. The code BISKIT, BIZKIT. There's no 69, just BIZKIT. You get 20% off and free shipping only from the team at manscaped.com. How was that?
It was really good. Also, I was gonna text this to you, but I'll be honest, I forgot. So being like the little hockey social media person that I am, I sometimes get recognized, which is pretty cool. But the first thing they'll say is, "Are you Jay Phillips?" And the second thing they'll say is, "Do you know Trav?" It's always, "Do you know Trav? What's Trav like?" And it's really funny. So I'm glad, like, what you're doing is killing it. And whether, you know, and yeah, you take a lot of slack from people and like heat people, but a lot of people like really like it and enjoy the content. And I like it. I listen every Sunday while I'm just chilling, usually cleaning my apartment or house, then I listen to Slang and the Biscuit. So it's, I'm enjoying. I'm glad that I can be a two-time guest on the pod. Yeah. Season four.
First two-time guest on the... No, second two-time guest on the
second
show.
Two-time. Who's the first time?
Pascal Vallana. Third will be the man behind me who's passed out. I don't know if the video version will catch it, but he's out. He's going to sleep. He's shutsy. But yeah, dude, it's been fun. You know, building our friendship, obviously helping you a little bit with the online stuff, then having you help me with my post-surgery recovery. And yeah, I just... can be more thankful to have you as a friend in my life. I don't mean to get too soft on you, but right.
I'm looking forward to the day when, you know, I have a facility and whatever, and you can come just sleep in my couch. I'm not gonna give you a bed, but I'll give you a couch that you can sleep on, and you know, come train and skate. And unfortunately, we weren't able to hop on the ice this week with me just getting back from Europe yesterday and my jet lag and not feeling 110%. But we'll get on the ice. We'll skate, so I can rip some pucks on you.
You know, I don't know if I told you or Bujit, but it feels like when I come here, and obviously, you know, Bujit lets me sleep on his couch. I live here for the next 3.5 weeks. This is my residency, I guess, shall we say, if you want to call it that. It feels like Rocky IV. You know, like Rocky, he's going into the jungle. He's getting ready for the fight. He doesn't want no women, no distractions. And he's just here, focused on the fight, focused on training, getting better.
Is he in the jungle, or is he in the, isn't the Russian... Is that, am I thinking the wrong Rocky?
Rocky, I think it's Rocky IV.
Is that the one where he's chasing like chickens in the barn and stuff?
I think so.
Yeah, he's not. He's up in like Soviet Russia.
I don't know. Anyway.
He's definitely not in the jungle.
Point being is that I'm in the jungle here.
Okay.
I'm living here. I'm not leaving. There's no excuses. You wake up, you hear, Boog or Dave coming in at 8 a.m. and is back to work. So
yeah, we're probably carrying that podcast on way too long. But
no, we're good for time.
Okay, good. And one of the things like people always ask, like, what is Trav like? And
oh boy.
And I always say it's like, they're like, "Is Trav any good at hockey?" And I'm like, "Well, like Trav plays in the Fed, so take that for what you will. But I've never met a person who was willing to invest the time and like financial resources and to whatever it takes, like sleep on a couch in a goalie training facility for 3 weeks to learn, to get better in their own game and to provide the content that you bring and all these things." And I said, "I've never come across anyone who's doing that." Oh yeah, I probably wouldn't sleep on a couch for, actually depends. Probably wouldn't, but maybe sleep on a couch for 3 weeks. And I give you a lot of credit. You're all over, you know, all over the country. You're skating, you know, with Steve, with Pascal, with all these people, and you spend all your money on that to get yourself as good as you can be and to learn from experts. And I think, if once people kind of realize that and the how exhausting it is and actually how expensive it is and why you need all the sponsors to do what you do, I hope that brings in a little bit more of like the respect, understanding, like, "Hey, like what he does is pretty, pretty cool." Cause I'm a little jealous that you can get to do this and stuff.
I gotta be honest, like part of the magic too is not selling that. Like people don't need to know that obviously like the sponsors pay the bills. I mean, obviously I was talking about it kind of exposes that, but like the sponsors pay the bills, or there's like certain avenues to make this a reality. At the end of the day, like if you just strip it all away and just focus on the training, I think that's what shines through. And even though, you know, I do take a lot of shit, this is what I love doing. And when you really boil it down, I know we talked about it, you know, an hour ago before we started recording, but when you compare, I get to travel, I get to live in Bougie's couch for 3.5 weeks here at the facility and skate and work out every day. It beats getting blown up in a ditch in the Ukraine any day. Like, it does not get any better when you think about it like that.
Yeah, that is true. And there's definitely there are some bad situations in life, and like I think we definitely take things for granted. But that's the biggest thing that I try to portray to people in terms of when they ask me like what you're like. And I think like basically you're one of the most dedicated people in terms of what you want to do to educating yourself on the game of hockey and the position of goaltending.
Well, I want to be clear too. Like, I don't get everything right. I make a lot of mistakes. Oh. But I'm giving it my best to try to uncover those answers and not leave the stones unturned. And I think even like just living in Sweden, you know, where we're, you know, me and my roommate Liam Sweeney, we're living in a tool shed that's, you know, 200 square feet, $1,500 a month for rent, and we're pooping in a bucket. Like, that put into perspective for me. Like, literally, that put into perspective for me, if I can do this, imagine if I'm living in an actual house. You know, imagine if, you know, we get a morning skate every day. Imagine if, you know, all these little extra things, like even in Watertown, we're like, you know, we can have breakfast at Tim Hortons on the house because they hooked the boys up after we got a Tim Hortons sponsorship.
That's big time.
Yeah. So like, for example, when like they do the switchover, I guess like 10:30, 11, instead of throwing out all the donuts and the bagels, they just throw them in a garbage bag. Somebody goes pick them up, brings it
to the rink.
So think about that though.
That is the most like minor pro thing I've ever heard.
But like, think about that. That's pretty good. And when you're thinking about someone paying $10,000 a year for AAA hockey, they're not getting that. Like, I'm privileged enough where I get to skate for free every single morning, 10 to 11:30. We get the Tim
all
Morgan
the
sponsors.
Stale bagels you want. You just all you can eat stale bagels.
Well, here's the trick. Just put them in a little like Ziploc bag, get a little like wet like paper towel, and just leave it in there for like 30 minutes. Maybe like microwave it for a couple seconds, and it'll re-moisten. Like, there's hacks to the game. There's new levels to the game. You just got to unlock them.
I'm all for that because I don't like wasting food, and if there are hungry Federal Hockey League players out there, let them eat. Yes. Let them eat.
Well, I will say after, you know, having pizza and chicken parmesan at the Olive Garden and the all-you-can-eat salad and soup for 3 months straight, I never wanted to, and I have not had chicken parmesan since. But going to Olive Garden, having a free meal, you know, covered by the team, having great company with the fellas, and then even if you are opening the gate that night, it does beat, again, getting blown up in a ditch in the Ukraine. It beats working at Subway. It beats, you know, working at the Home Depot, hating your life. And there's so many worse things. And just like every, I don't mean to monologue too much on you, but like, I'm just so thankful I get to do this every single day. I get to live my childhood dream. Like, I told the story on the podcast last week, but when I was, you know, 10 or 11 years old in elementary school, my dad enrolled me in like figure skating classes. So he had to take me out at like 2 o'clock to make the 3 o'clock skate. And I remember like leaving thinking like, this is awesome. You know, like my friends, well, I didn't have any friends, but my classmates are in school learning like a bunch of nerds and I get to go skating. It's like, what if I could do this for my entire life? And now fast forward here, I know that if 10 or 11 year old me saw this, would be like, my God, we get to skate 10 to 11:30 every single day, Monday to Friday. We're traveling. Like, this is like 10, 11 year old me would be so happy with, you know, getting this opportunity. And I don't want to let that version of myself down.
No. And that's ultimately that's what matters the most with hockey. And as long as you're enjoying what you're doing, all that matters.
I think also too, like, just realizing how expensive hockey's gotten. And if my parents had me 5, even 10 years later, I never would have played hockey. So again, bypassing those gatekeepers of, you know, they had me earlier, I should say, which, you know, open to interpretations on how you want to take that. But, you know, I bypass these gatekeepers and I get to do this for a living, and it's just the greatest thing I've ever accomplished. And people like you make it possible. You know, Derek Bujan make it possible by allowing me to sleep on his couch for 3.5 weeks and not bring the blue light up there, which is great. And I just couldn't be happier to do it, man. So anyway, this is the episode of the podcast. This is the first ever episode where I have had zero notes, zero ad reads lined up, and we've gone for, I think, 40, 45 minutes-ish. So if you are listening to the audio version, I want to say thank you so much for listening. We do a new episode every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, 8 a.m. on the West Coast. If you're on Apple or Spotify, please leave a review, leave a little 5-star, let us know what you think. If you're on the YouTube version, leave a comment. I would love to hear you shit-talk Jamie and get back to you in the comment section, as well as you have any questions, concerns, leave a like, subscribe, and I will see you for the next episode of the podcast next Sunday on Slinging the Biscuit.